بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، أما بعد. الحمد لله. Last night we were looking at four virtues connected with the Holy Quran, and tonight we're going to look at four more in no particular order, drawing from the works of Fada'il al-Quran. The first virtue we're going to cover tonight is the virtue of the Qur'an, insofar as reciting the Qur'an is a kind of munajat, or a way of having intimate discourse with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu relates in a hadith recorded by Imam al-Daylami in Musnad al-Firdaus that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "When one of you wishes to converse with his Lord, then let him recite the Qur'an." The word he uses here in the hadith is munajat, yani tunaji. And munajat is a bit different from dua. In that dua, you're asking for something. Whereas in munajat, you are expressing meanings with or without asking. You're basically speaking with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this hadith says that if you wish to engage in munajat, discourse or conversation with your Lord, then the person should recite the Qur'an. According to Al-Imam Al-Munawi, who is the author of Faydul Qadir, which is a commentary on Al-Jami' Al-Saghir, he comments on this hadith. And he says that the meaning of the phrase, converse with his Lord, is a kind of kinaya. In Arabic, we call it a kinaya or a metonym. Not exactly like a figure of speech, but close to it. He says it's a kinaya for the Qur'an itself. So the munajat is a kinaya for the Qur'an itself, because the Qur'an, he says, is a message from Allah Ta'ala to his servants. Imam al-Munawi says, therefore, it's as if the reciter, when he or she opens the mushaf and recites, it's as if the reciter is saying, "Ya Rabb, O Lord, you have said such and such," by reciting the words. And so in this way, they are engaging in an intimate conversation with Allah Ta'ala. This is according to Imam al-Munawi, rahmatullahi alayh. So you have dhikr, and you have dua, and you have munajat. And reciting the Qur'an can be a kind of munajat, where you are receiving the risalat of your Lord, as Allah describes the Qur'an, risalat, messages from your Lord. Another virtue of the Qur'an is that whosoever loves the Qur'an loves Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is taken from a hadith recorded by Imam al-Tabarani, in which he transmits from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, who relates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Whosoever loves that Allah and His Messenger love him should carefully consider, if he loves the Quran, then he loves Allah and His Messenger." So if you want to have the love of Allah and His Messenger, you have to cultivate love of the Quran. And if you have love for the Quran, then this is a bushra, a glad tidings, that inshallah you have the love of Allah and His Messenger. The next virtue of the Qur'an is a very interesting one. And we said four virtues tonight, but this is the third that could be the fourth as well, because of the nature of the word used in the hadith. This hadith is recorded by Imam al-Darimi in his Sunan, also from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, who relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Recite the Qur'an, for Allah will not torment a heart that contains the Qur'an." Allah will not torment a heart that contains the Qur'an. Indeed, this Qur'an is the banquet spread of Allah Ta'ala, the ma'dubah. The ma'duba is the table spread or the banquet spread of Allah Ta'ala. And whosoever enters it will be secure, and whosoever loves the Qur'an should receive glad tidings. This is the hadith. And we have another narration. Actually, you have about a dozen different riwayat, different wordings that mention this phrase, ma'duba or ma'daba. There's two words here. Now, without harakat, without the vowel marks, you can read the word as ma'daba or ma'duba. So you have another narration in which Abdullah ibn Mas'ud transmits that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, indeed, this Qur'an is the ma'duba, the banquet spread of Allah Ta'ala. So hasten to his banquet spread as much as you are able. He continues, indeed, the Qur'an is the rope of Allah, the clear light, and the beneficial healing. It is a protection for the one who clings firmly to it, and a means of salvation for whoever follows it. Neither shall it deviate such that it must be corrected, nor shall it ever become crooked such that it must be set aright. Its wonders never cease, لا تنقضي عجائبه, nor is it worn out by repetition. And what that last phrase means is that no matter how often you recite the Qur'an, no matter how often you read it and reflect on it, you're never going to grow bored with it. You're always going to derive meanings and lessons that you didn't have the previous time you recited it. He continues in the hadith, recite it, for Allah shall grant you a tenfold reward for every letter you recite. And I do not say that Alif Lam Mim is a single letter. Rather, Alif is a letter, Lam is a letter, and Mim is a letter. This is recorded by Imam al-Mundhiri in At-Targhib al-Tarhib. And this is also coming from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And what you note here is, like the previous hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam describes the Qur'an as the ma'duba of Allah Ta'ala. But you have another narration recorded by Abu Ubayd Qasim ibn Salam, who records a wording which says that the Qur'an is the ma'daba of Allah Ta'ala, which we'll get to soon. So we have two words here, ma'duba and ma'daba. What is a ma'duba? A ma'duba is a table spread. In Urdu, you call it dastarkhan, right? Now everyone recognizes what it is. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is describing the Qur'an as that banquet spread. Why? According to Abu Ubayd Qasim ibn Salam, the earliest author in the genre of Fada'il al-Qur'an, he says that the reason why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam calls the Qur'an the ma'duba or the table spread or a banquet spread of Allah Ta'ala is that Allah Ta'ala has placed within it everything that is beneficial, everything that brings you sustenance. So you have a table spread and it's full of good, nutritious foods that give you health and sustain you. This is a kind of metaphor for the Qur'an. The Qur'an likewise presents a smorgasbord of benefits for you spiritually and physically in this life and the next. And that's if you read the hadith as ma'duba with a dhamma. But when you have the narration which says ma'daba, what's the difference? The ma'duba is the table spread, the banquet spread. Or you could say like a picnic spread. The ma'daba means it is the source of adab. So if you read it differently, it means the Qur'an is the source of adab. It is the source of decorum. It is the source of good manners. It is the source of etiquette and propriety. And both of these interpretations are valid because both of them are borne out in the word itself. When the hadith is transmitted, it's transmitted in these various narrations, sometimes as ma'duba, table spread, banquet spread, and other times it's transmitted as ma'daba. One hadith, in fact, is very explicit and says, indeed, this Qur'an is the ma'daba of Allah, the source of adab from Allah, so learn from this ma'daba, this source of adab. So what we've learned tonight is that the Qur'an is the source of adab, It is the banquet spread of all benefit, what gives us spiritual sustenance. And when a person engages with the Quran and recites it, they're not reading it passively, or they shouldn't be. Rather, it should be understood as a kind of munajat or intimate discourse. And we also learned that the one who is attached to the Quran is loved by Allah and His Messenger. And this teaches us that if we want to be loved by Allah and His Messenger, then we have to cultivate a connection to the Quran. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.